group of children came out onto the stage, I was thinking tonight how grateful and how thankful to God each one of us should be in the light of events of this past week. How grateful and thankful to God. How we ought to take an opportunity, and I hope we have in the last few days, to hug and to love on these kids, maybe more than they're even used to. You know, just give them a big hug and love on them. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to have a group of young people up here and to still see in their faces and in their eyes a genuine innocence. That is something that's going away very quickly in our world. We live in a very broken world. We really do. We live in a broken nation. The events of this last week illustrate, I think, most poignantly the fact that as a country, we're searching. And we're not perhaps on the right road today, especially not spiritually. It's so refreshing to come and see a group of young people that sings the old Christmas carols from their heart and that enacted for us the wonderful story of the birth of the Savior. I think one of the most significant things that I see in the young people that as they performed for us tonight and reenacted the Christmas story for us tonight, I think one of the most important things and significance I see in them is a real heart of faith, a real heart of belief. These young people are not old enough to be cynical. They're not old enough to be critical, thank the Lord for that. They're not old enough to question and to doubt. They are old enough to have heard the old, old story that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to give himself ultimately a sacrifice for sins. And so many of these young people that you saw tonight have, in faith, given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know sometimes somebody will say, well, Pastor Mahdi, you know, these children are very, very young, and believing is a very easy thing. You know, Jesus spoke about that. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, and my remarks won't be long tonight, but in Mark chapter 10, Jesus was speaking to a group of people, and a number of people very wisely brought their children to him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, and they brought young children to him, to Jesus, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples weren't exactly interested in children's ministry. They kind of rebuked the ones that were bringing these children, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He was displeased with his disciples. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then verse 15, and this verse resonates with every person in this room. Verse 15, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Aren't those interesting words? Jesus, in welcoming the little children to him, then looked out at the adult congregation, the ones to whom he had been speaking, and he said, if you're unwilling to receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not be welcomed therein. You'll not enter therein. Interesting words. Someone says, Pastor, does that mean that as children there is some age requirement for coming to Christ? No. We know from the Scripture, the New Testament, that men and women, boys and girls, come to Christ at varying and different ages. I've seen people well into their elderly years finally give their heart to the Lord, maybe after decades of living. I've also seen children who come to a realization of their own personal sinfulness and their need of Christ. I've seen them to come at a very early age and trust Christ. There's no age limit in regard to salvation. There simply needs to be a comprehension of the gospel story and a conviction of sin, and the Lord works in hearts like that. Well, then, what did Jesus mean, though, when he said, except you come as a little child, you cannot enter that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven? I think what Jesus spoke about is what every one of us saw a moment ago on this platform. All of us saw the innocence of children. It was refreshing. Frankly, after this week, I needed to see what I saw tonight. After this week, we needed to see some kids that still have faith in their heart. We need to see some kids that haven't been touched by the cold and harsh realities of, at times, a very ugly world in which we live. Tonight we saw smiles on their faces. We saw a sense of that innocence. And that is, I think, what Jesus was referring to. When we come to Christ, we set aside our cynicism. When we come to Christ, we set aside our doubt. When we come to Christ, we come, as it were, as little children. When we come to Christ, we set aside the arguments that we as adults so often put forward. You know, someone says, well, you know, Pastor, this is all well and good, but I don't want to be a Christian because, after all, I know too many hypocrites. Well, if a hypocrite is standing between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. We have all these arguments. And by the way, our arguments are very well reasoned because, after all, we've thought these things through. They're all reasons why somehow we should resist this. And, well, Pastor Monty, all these things are nice for children, and the Bible is nice for children, and the Christmas story and all these good values, that's all nice for children. But once they get out in reality, they might see things differently. Oh, yeah. And that's the reason for the world in which we're living. A lot of people who see things differently, a lot of people who for some reason think God is to be shunned rather than to be embraced. A lot of people who somehow think that the secular vision where human life is meaningless should be the vision that we adopt as a nation. A lot of people who somehow got the idea years ago that God wasn't important in our school system. That somehow the Bible is a dangerous book. You know, all of these arguments we have, very sophisticated arguments. And if we maintain those in our heart, well, Jesus said in the passage we read a moment ago, there would be very little hope for us. But if we come to Christ, recognizing who He is, understanding that He is the Son of God, being willing to set aside some of the cynicism and coldness of heart that has put our nation where it is today, being willing to admit, this is a big one today, tough one for some folks, being willing to admit that maybe we've been wrong. Maybe we've made wrong choices and wrong decisions. That's hard for some people to do. When we're willing to set that all aside and have the faith of a little child and approach Christ with the attitude of a little child and say, I'm coming to you, Lord, because I need you. Well, that's hard for people to say nowadays, isn't it? I mean, after all, don't we have everything more than any generation has ever had? Aren't we better cared for and better watched out for and educated? We're better educated. Pastor Monty, we've got everything. Yeah, we have everything. And at the same time, it almost seems like we have nothing. What has happened to the soul of a nation? See, these kids up here, with the brightness shining on their faces and the innocence of who they are, these kids up here, they understand. And Jesus said, it's important for us to set aside our argumentation and come to Him with the faith of a little child. I love the last song that they sang to us a moment ago. They talked about the fact that each one of us should come to Christ. So many of these, as I was watching, so many of these, I was thinking how they have come to Christ through children's programs here in the Sunday school, the Awana program, whatever it may be. They have come to Christ. So many of them, as I'm watching, I'm thinking, wow, there's one who's received Christ. And I remember when he got baptized. And remember when she got baptized. They trusted Christ as their Savior. All of these have come. And I thought to myself as they sang that last song, how in reality they were inviting us to come. I don't know your spiritual condition tonight. I do know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross and that every one of us is on an equal footing before God. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in this room that hasn't done some things in life of which you're ashamed, and you certainly wouldn't want other people to know about it. And in your heart you say, no, I'm glad that's just only God knows. Well, you know what? The Bible calls those things sins. And don't be shocked by the idea, because every person in here, from the preacher on the platform to every person in this room, we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in spite of who we are, and this is the good news, this is where all cynicism should melt away. Because in spite of who we are, not because of who we are, in spite of who we are, God loves us. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves me in spite of who I am, and He gave His Son. The story we saw tonight a moment ago, that was God giving His Son to be born in Bethlehem's manger. Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. And at the end of His life, and you all know the story, He died on a cross and shed His blood. Preacher, why did that happen? I'll tell you why. It happened because of my sin and because of yours. When Jesus went to the cross, he took the punishment for my sinfulness and for yours. I deserve to be there. And God said, no, I will punish instead my son Jesus, who had no sins of his own for which to die. I will lay upon him the sins of all mankind. Unless you feel that that was unfair, remember God is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In the sacrifice on Calvary, God gave himself as an offering for our sin. And that illustrates the great and boundless love of God. And, you know, we can argue all we want about science and philosophy and politics. We could get into all of those things. But Jesus did say we just need to come as little children, set aside the doubt and the cynicism and the argument, and just believe. And I wonder tonight, if you were to do that, how much light, the light that we saw in these children's faces, how much of that light would penetrate your own heart if you were just to set aside some of those adult things, the negativity and all the things we pick up in life, and say, you know, Lord, I believe. I believe. I think if that happened generally in our nation, I don't think I know, it would change the direction of this country. It would also change the direction of your heart. But you need to come as a little child. Their last song, they invited you to come. If you have never committed your heart, if you have never given your life to Christ, this would be a great night to do just that. In a moment, we're going to be done. We're going to have an invitation. We never preach the gospel without giving an invitation to respond. Our pastors will come to the front here. If you're here and you'd say, you know, I know in my heart that I need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. I need to believe on him. And you'd acknowledge that that's a need. In a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. As we're singing, we're going to invite you who have that need to make your way right to the front. Our pastors will pray with you and help you with that. On this very night, you can come to Jesus Christ. Leave the arguments in the pew. Leave the cynicism in the pew. And you come and believe on him. Jesus said, if we come as little children, we will be received. And all it takes is to believe. Believe he died for you. Believe he rose again. Believe it personally and trust in him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for what we needed this week. Lord, we needed this program this week. You know more deeply than we. Father, this was a blessing. The innocence in these faces, the privilege and the pleasure of having these kids. Lord, we were reminded this week how we should hug them more closely, love them more deeply. We were reminded this week, Lord, to exercise maybe a little more patience when our patience is tried. We were reminded this week of the great treasure of the grace of God. Some families tonight don't have that. Lord, tonight we were reminded of the great sacrifice of Christ for our sins, the fact that he, the Son of God, was born in Bethlehem's manger, and not only was born, but died as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that he rose again. Thank you, Lord, that he lives forever for us. And now, perhaps there are some in this room who would be honest enough tonight to say they're not sure that they've received Christ, or perhaps they have refused him. Lord, please soften hearts tonight. The children sang about an invitation, and I pray tonight if there are some in this place that need to come to Christ, that they would not hesitate. But tonight, as little children, they would come and receive him and trust him and let him change their life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. Everyone standing together.